I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Since Inauguration Day, there's been an orchestrated campaign of terrorism and violence against ICE officers. Of course, we saw the recent sniper attack against ICE officers. They're publishing their families' photos online. They're threatening them with murder. They're threatening them with death. And they're physically attacking them in the street each and every day. And yet, shamefully, the mayor and governor in Portland and Oregon have refused to render aid, leaving ICE officers to street fight every single night against these terrorists.
That's exactly what they've had to do. I mean, you're going to hear the left, the Antifa crowd, say ICE agents shouldn't be doing what they're doing. They're carrying out federal law to deport illegals. And if National Guard troops are sent in to help them, so be it. Because they're not getting any help from the local authorities. Perfect case on that made the other day in Chicago. You cannot ignore it. They want you to, but we're not going to let it pass. ICE officers get blocked in. They had a caravan trying to move somewhere. They got immediately surrounded by Antifa cars and protesters to the point where they couldn't even get out of their vehicle. And one woman pulled a rifle to shoot at one of the officers, and then a shot was returned. Nobody was killed, but that's the kind of level it's getting to. The police on the rooftops shooting down at the protesters are shooting basic rubber bullets, things that, could they hurt you? Yeah, they could. But it's not like trying to kill you, trying to disperse you and back you up, which is another point about in Chicago, that detention center. The Chicago city said you got to take down the perimeter temporary fencing you put up around your facility. In other words, we want the protesters to get closer to you. Why would you do that? You don't care about the lives of the law enforcement officers. And you won't allow your own police officers to respond to a call for officer in need of help. You're so shameful. But of course, you don't have shame, do you? Thanks for joining us. Hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here with you every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. And every time you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. I promise you, by the time we finish this hour, you will know more and have more education and knowledge than you do right now. Not to say you're not smart and intelligent, but I find little gems and pearls that you might have overlooked or you just heard a little bit about. It is an education show, not just me pontificating, although I'm pretty good at that, right? I mean, I'm born in Texas. I'm already born with a BS degree to begin with, and I actually have a BS degree. Well, look at that, how the worlds came together. I mentioned the other day that I've had one journalism course when I was in college. Back then, the only one being offered was for print media. There's still some good things to be learned, but they didn't have the mass comm or whatever they call it now. They didn't have a radio station or a TV station as part of their training. None of that was available then. So I was focusing on law, actually, and politics. So that was my direction. But it served me well past that point as well. So you will get an education by the time we finish here. Later in this hour, trying to police hate speech on the internet. What can you do and how far can you go? I mean, it's one thing in the street to try to police it, and they can carry their signs, death to America, burning the U.S. flag. As long as they're not rioting and charging into ICE officers or threatening other law enforcement or civilians, they're basically allowed to, quote, exercise your First Amendment right until your fist hits my nose. that stops it. On the internet, they can hide by anonymity. You don't even know who they are and put all kinds of stuff out there. I almost did. I almost slipped. I know. You need to listen every day because there might be a couple of days I might have slipped. I don't know. Or will in the future. In broadcasting, there are those who have done something like that, and there are those who will. So you make the decision. But policing internet hate speech. I've got a guest coming up. He and his father actually put together this work called Gabriel Locke, Bound by Law. Talking about, we're not trying to control the content. We're just trying to expose platforms to liability through the way they're using their algorithms. And that's coming up with my guest here shortly. Yeah, you're right. I'm teasing you. I'm trying to get you to listen longer. As well you should. And look at all you're going to learn. Once again, let's go back to Stephen Miller, White House aide, reference the National Guard.
There are also many other options the president has to deploy federal resources and assets out of the U.S. military to Portland. But I was making the point that under federal law, Title 10 of the U.S. Code, the president has the authority anytime he believes federal resources are insufficient to federalize the National Guard to carry out a mission necessary for public safety. So it's important to understand that in Portland, ICE officers have been subjected to over 100 nights of terrorist assault, doxing, murder threats, violent attack, and every other means imaginable to try to overturn the results of the last election through violence. The most important point I want to make today is that the number one and two items in the GOP platform in 2024 were to turn back the border invasion and carry out the largest deportation program in American history.
That was their original intent. And they're just trying to round them up. Still carrying out that basic intent, that basic premise of what they campaigned on. Now, I did a very extensive piece in the first hour. Oh, you missed the first hour? Well, shame on you. Well, I know. You can't listen all the time. That is why we do provide podcasts. How do you get those? Well, you go to News Talk STL Podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any podcast form you want to choose. You search Larry Connors USA, you will find an opportunity of doing that. But I detailed how many different presidents, at least eight, all the way back to George Washington, where they had used the power of the Constitution to activate the National Guard and use them to protect people. One of them, including Governor Wallace of Alabama. He had activated his National Guard in Alabama because he was not going to let black students into the classroom. JFK sent down army troops and gave them authority over the National Guard of Alabama to enforce the right for those students to get in. In Chicago right now, there's a judge that's halted deployment, Chicago deployment, in an order from Chicago, a U.S. District Judge granting a temporary restraining order halting the Trump administration's deployment of National Guard troops in the state of Illinois for 2 weeks. Portland is also on hold. A 3-judge panel, Ninth Circuit. They'll do whatever the lefties want anyway. And Trump's being blocked from federalizing the National Guard in Oregon to help protect the ICE officers. So they're going to do this as much as they can. National Guard troops have been seen patrolling in Memphis for the first time as of today. This is part of Trump's federal task force. Unclear how many National Guard units will be used. There was an NAACP Memphis forum Wednesday, and the Memphis police chief said, "I hope Guard personnel would direct traffic and have a presence in retail corridors." Did not say, operate checkpoints or anything similar. The Memphis mayor, a Democrat, said, I never requested the Guard to Memphis. But after Trump announced we are deploying them, the Republican governor of Tennessee said they want that task force to target violent offenders and make it clear that don't just be harassing and scaring the general public. They're not going to be doing that. If you're here illegally, you might be frightened. Maybe you have a reason to be, especially if you've carried out gang activities against fellow citizens. So a CNN broadcaster had Stephen Miller on the program. He thought, I've got a gotcha question. I got a gotcha question. This is a question that I'm going to throw at him, and I'll catch him off guard. You watch me do this. Stand back. You do not know how big this is going to get. All I know is he got a KO punch from Stephen Miller.
It's potentially a problem in the future for Republicans. If a Democratic president someday calls the National Guard to a red state over what they see as open rebellion, but is what amounts to a demonstration that gets rowdy. I mean, is that
yes,
not a
and they're
furious?
Posting pictures of their kids because it's a demonstration, and they have a sniper on top of a building firing a high-caliber rifle at a nice facility because it's a demonstration, and they are engaging in vehicle-ramming attacks.
But the National Guard isn't being sent to Texas.
Because it's
a National Guard isn't being sent to Dallas where that sniper was.
Because the Dallas Police Department and the governor of Texas, well, you walked right into that
one. Oh, yeah.
Have responded to every call for assistance and help. They gave a stand-down order in Chicago, and they gave a stand-down order in Portland. Do you realize that there's 11,000 federal law enforcement officers in Oregon? That's larger than the size of the FBI. Local and state police are resourced to deal with this kind of riotous assembly, but they have refused. They've been given a stand-down order. So
they've arrested some 70 people since June.
Troops
they've been arresting folks on the ground. They've been arresting folks on the ground. They refute what you're saying outright.
We literally have the 911 audio of the stand-down order in Chicago, and we have documented inside of DHS every single unresponded to 911 call over the recent weeks and months.
But they have not sent National Guard troops to Texas because the Texas governor is already using his National Guard to help protect ICE agents and every police agency. Even if it's in a blue city, they're being given orders, you better step in when you're called. Back to peace in the Middle East. This weekend will be very important to actually get the arrangement signed. Israel's already withdrawn some from Gaza, 53% pullback to quote a yellow line. Hamas is supposed to turn over all the hostages, although Netanyahu says they may all be dead, or we might not get some of the dead back. But Trump is looking forward to try to move forward.
I want to thank the countries that helped me put this together. Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and so many others. So many people fought so hard. This is a big day. We'll see how it all turns out. We have to get the final word down in concrete. Very importantly, I look forward to having the hostages come home to their parents and having some of the hostages, unfortunately, you know the condition they're in, come home likewise to their parents because their parents wanted them just as much as though that young man or young woman were alive. So I just want to let you know that this is a very special day, maybe unprecedented in many ways. It is unprecedented. But thank you all, and thank you all to those great countries that helped. We were given a tremendous amount of help. Everybody was unified in wanting this war to end and seeing peace in the Middle East. And we're very close to achieving that. Thank you all, and everybody will be treated fairly.
When that word came out the other day, last night, as a matter of fact, there was jubilation in the streets of Jerusalem, understandably, and all over Israel, young men and women, and probably elders as well, out in the streets celebrating, shouting, waving the U.S. flag along with the Israeli flag. And then in Gaza, in the midst of Hamas-controlled territory, even with Hamas still in place. Young men in particular out in the streets celebrating joyously that the war has come to an end. They did not want to fight the war. They did not want to continue it. And they were afraid they were either going to be sent to the front, or I should say, used as a shield against any incoming rounds, or they would end up dying in some other way as the war continued, or their family. And they were celebrating. But Netanyahu is implying that remains of some of the dead hostages may not be returned. It's still not clear if they would be held or if they can't find them. Maybe they've been buried somewhere and it's been blasted over so many times. I don't know. I want all the living ones out, and I want them that are living 2 days ago when this was announced still alive today and this weekend. Secretary of War Hegseth made an announcement that I have a little misgiving about. The Pentagon has agreed to host a new Qatari Air Force facility in Idaho, saying Qatari played a core part in securing the Gaza peace deal. I don't know if this was a quid pro quo, but they are basically going to allow the Qatari Air Force facility at the Mountain Home Air Force Base in Idaho, allowing pilots to train on Qatari F-15 fighter jets. He said it will reflect the depth of the U.S.-Qatari defense partnership. Speaking to the Qatari defense minister, he said, "We're grateful for the great partnership we have, and we want to continue. We have U.S. fighters all over the world and our troops as well." I'm not saying that this is jeopardizing our national security by allowing them to come in here and fly fighter jets. I assume they will not be armed, but if they're running training missions to bombing and strafing, they will be armed. I hope they do a very good job of vetting those that they're going to be allowed to fly. You get my understanding, don't you? Coming up, how do you reduce hate on the internet without violating free speech? Big question. Is there an answer? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John, Bill, and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beall. John Beall Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beall Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It is clear that since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, we have seen more criticism on the internet multiplied over and over, lies, distortion, hate-filled statements. And in Rutgers University, which I'll talk about in our next segment, they are pushing around a petition to get Turning Point USA off the campus, saying it's causing fear and intimidation. Turning Point USA? Remember when Charlie Kirk was shot? How many cars got turned over? How many buildings got looted? How much violence took place in the street? How many buildings were set on fire? The only flames you saw were at candlelight vigils. There's no comparison. My guest and his father are the authors of a book called Gabriel Locke, Bound by Law. We'll get into details of exactly how that fits with the title and the subject, but basically they're looking at fixing the internet. How do you reduce the hate on the internet without violating free speech? My guest, I've got the son, Humberto Cancio. Did I say that right, Humberto?
Yes, you did. You did very well. But wow. I just want to tell you, Larry, I am the father.
Oh, wow.
my son is my co-author.
I'm sorry. I got the word that Alberto was going to do it. So what'd you do, pull the dad trick and send him out to go run an errand?
Yeah, of course.
Well, anyway, I'm glad to have either one of you. As I pointed out, the two of you have been writing this book.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Now, you point out that while we should not control the content of what is written on the internet, we can expose platforms to liability through their use of algorithms. Let's begin there.
All right. Well, in 1996, they passed the Decency Act for the internet, and that had contained Section 230. The original idea was to keep the internet as a forum for everybody to express themselves, which I think is a wonderful idea.
Right.
However, algorithms, sophisticated ones, had not been developed. So nobody could really expect what was to happen. And with the advent of making money on the internet, companies developed the algorithms to be able to repeat things and charge advertisers accordingly. So what happens is that the internet is really dominated by these algorithms. You can put something up on the internet, and if an algorithm doesn't pick it up, well, nobody will ever see it.
Right.
So when you analyze a litigation for defamation, which is the way I think we control it, you have two actors. First, the person who creates the lie, and the second one is the person who repeats the lie. So while I agree that the forums don't have necessarily control over what is put on there, they have absolute control over what is repeated. And that's where I think that we should change Section 230 and make them liable on the basis of what their algorithms tell.
That's a very interesting point. Yeah, therefore it's not infringing necessarily on free speech, just repeating a lie past that. It's still some gray area there.
Yes, it is a gray area, but I think it's the way to attack it. The same thing happens when you publish a book and it contains lies.
Right.
The publisher becomes liable when they publish the book and sell millions of copies. And according to the amount they repeat it, their liability grows. So using exactly the same idea that we've used for centuries that has maintained free speech, we just apply it to the internet through the algorithms.
Well, I've been in broadcasting for several decades. Well, I mean, even before I got into broadcasting, I mean, all I know is when the Conestoga wagon came to a stop, I jumped off and got into journalism. So I go back a little ways. And I'm all about free speech, as I know you are as well. I understand the value of 230 of the Communications Decency Act. I understand giving them protection from suit and libel if folks are posting it. Well, if you're a paper, you are obviously watching what is sent in and you can stop it from going on. But if someone posts something inane or stupid on the internet, even a direct lie, you can't go after them because someone else made that mistake. You agree with that, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I think that, as a matter of fact, the counter to that is let's make a law that nothing except pornography, obviously, and calling to murder, it can be eliminated from the internet. That way, conservative voices can't be suppressed. So let's pass, you know, let's amend it that way too, so that anybody can put whatever they want. However, it'll be a tree in the middle of a forest because unless an algorithm picks it up, it goes nowhere.
You can point out also that posts containing the words Hitler and Trump get repeated more often. And then you go back to making a point that the old saying in news was good news doesn't sell newspapers. So that's what they want to do for their advertisers. Keep stirring the pot, getting more people come in. Clickbait, as we call it.
Right. So you want to get money, you pay for it by getting hit with defamation. It's that simple. It's the balance. It's the checks and balances. So let's put a check on it and balance the internet so that the lies and the distortions don't proliferate.
Now, of course, they are operating free of the constructs built around print media and broadcast media. I mean, if I call someone and I put them on the air, or if they call in, if I open up the lines for call-in, then we have to be ready with a dump button if they start saying something that's inane or certainly violation. But I can say what I want till the station throws me off. And as far, I wish I had not brought that subject up. I'm afraid the bosses might listen to that. But the other part here is the internet companies, is they're going to be an open forum, public soapbox. Anybody can come up and say anything, and you cannot hold them responsible because you're trying to allow everyone an opportunity to speak.
Right. But what's worse, they do put their hand into it when they start repeating whatever they want to be repeated and suppressing what they don't. So there is where we draw the line. Say, no, you can't do that. It's either an open forum or it's not.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you start suppressing and you start repeating, it's no longer an open forum and you're doing it for money. So you have consequences.
I have a couple other questions on this, but I don't want to get too deep without talking about your book, Gabriel Locke, Bound by Law. Give me the background for that title and what exactly is it?
Okay. So my son and I had been apart for many years. He was living in one state, I was living in the other. Very quickly, we wanted to do something together. So I came up with some ideas, and he said, you know what, let's write about the interesting cases in your career. I've been an attorney coming in November, 47 years. So I said, okay, let's do that. So I began telling him about all my cases, and we took the ones we liked. And so we decided to create Gabriel Locke. He's a young attorney in Miami, Florida in the 1980s. It's a 7-book series. The first one is in 1981. And what it does is it takes the reader through the first year of the career of a young lawyer practicing civil law. And what it does is it really opens the door to how the whole legal system works. We got away from the Hollywood tropes of drunk lawyer, womanizer, shady character. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of really good people that are lawyers out there, and,
right,
and you never see them get portrayed. And you get to feel what the people feel as they're going through the litigations.
Now, Gabriel's not referenced a person or name, Gabriel Locke, correct?
The Gabriel Locke is the main character.
Okay, in your book, all right, you basically.
Yeah, in my book, this is not an autobiography.
Right.
Okay? Gabriel Locke is a much better person than I am.
But bound by law, now I fully understand it. Well, that's great. I know several lawyer friends who would like to read it and some that should be reading it. Well, before we close out here in the last— go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry. The communications is breaking up.
I said I know several attorneys. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, it's a book that really tells people about how a lawyer thinks, how they decide, how the client feels, what the judges do, what they really do,
all right,
how you pick a jury. I mean, it goes through all of it. It's not an instruction book.
Right.
It is very much a story.
Right.
But it does go through all those things. And it also is to the backdrop of Miami in the 80s. So
yeah.
Somebody at Barnes & Noble has called the book John Grisham Meets Miami Vice.
I was going to say Miami Vice. Well, and I'll add a footnote to it. I at one time was pursuing a law degree until I realized that professors don't understand me skipping their class to cover a fire while I was in journalism. Once again, David Concile and his son Humberto, Gabriel Locke, Bound by Law. We'll do this again, sir.
I would love to. It's been a pleasure, I assure you.
Thank you very much for your time. We do appreciate it. Coming up, the left continues to push lies, and you can't wait to hear this one.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is Ms. Spanberger's time. I have a follow-up question for Ms. Spanberger.
Would you rescind the Youngkin administration policy requiring boys and girls to use bathrooms aligning with their biological sex? You have 30 seconds.
My priority would be to ensure that local communities, importantly parents and teachers,
that's
and educators,
yes or no,
are able to work together to meet the unique needs of each school and each community.
Girls
and that
privacy.
Is important. And I say that as a mother of three daughters in Virginia public schools.
Exactly.
And as someone who used to investigate crimes against children. The way that we keep our children safe is by ensuring they are safe in schools, which includes funding law enforcement and public safety.
But Ms. Spanberger, the question was, would you rescind the Youngkin administration policy requiring boys and girls to use bathrooms aligning with their biological sex? You have 15 seconds to clarify that
second
question.
Chance.
Yes.
Second
and
chance.
My answer is that in each local community, decisions should be made between parents and educators teachers in each community. It shouldn't
parents
be dictated by politicians.
That is a debate taking place between former Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, the one who could not come up with a yes or no question. Do you still want boys to have access to girls' restrooms and dressing facilities? She's a Democrat nominee for governor in Virginia. Why do the Democrats want to die on this hill of letting men posing as girls participate not only in sports, but go into their locker rooms? Hey, I'm going to be honest. I'll be very honest with you here. When I was a teenage boy, if you gave me access to the girls' dressing room, I'm a sinful person. Yeah, let's go, in. Come on. I'm being honest with you. I remember specifically one guy's telling me, hey, he said, you know, there's a way we could get up above the room and drill a little hole and see. I wanted no part of that. But if you're going to allow me to walk through, and I'm claiming today that I'm feeling kind of girlish. I had mentioned in the preceding hour of a male in a college that is playing on a sports team posing as a woman, has not gone through transsexual surgery, walking through the ladies' locker room while they're changing, sometimes trying to help hide each other behind towels they hold up. He's walking through totally nude, everything hanging out, with an erection. Would you want your daughter exposed to such filth like that? Yeah, and you're right. I did mention that I would deal with that if it happened to my daughter, and that guy would not be having such an erection in the future. I'll promise you that. But here was former Congresswoman of Virginia, Abigail Spanberger, running for governor, and she's being questioned by the Republican candidate for governor, who's current lieutenant governor, Winsome Earl Sears. And she will not concede. Sears even at one point, do you want nude women in locker rooms? Are you going to change in a gym where men are nude? She asked Spanberger that. The answer, well, I have a plan where everybody, there is no plan. And she said, I have three daughters and I believe in, we'll get the police in and protect. Well, why don't you start with your authority you have and say, you're not allowed in. I don't need to send police unless you're trying to break your way into the girls' room. And we would charge you for doing it. But Spanberger, she's also so lefty, she's still endorsing Democrat Attorney General candidate, the guy who wants to be the next top lawmaker in Virginia, Jay Jones. He's the guy I told you about the other day that a couple of years ago put out text messages about killing one of a political opponent he didn't like. Two bullets to the head and kill his children and let them die in their mother's arms. Now that the texts have been made public, he said, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But he never offered any apology or backed out until they became public. And he wouldn't be doing it now except they're public. and he's realizing it could cost me the election. But damn it, I cannot insist enough. Spanberger and other Democrats had not withdrawn their endorsement for him. Every one of them should say, I don't want anything to do with you. But again, they picked the strangest hills to die on. Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker has given his support to him, has not withdrawn it. Hakeem Jeffries got asked the other day, and he just kind of walked around the question. That's the way they do. I mentioned earlier at Rutgers University, they are now trying to disband, not the university, but a group that signed a petition, disband the school's Turning Point USA chapter. On what grounds? Well, the Change.org petition accuses the Turning Point USA chapter of, quote, promoting hate speech and inciting violence against our community. Example? I'm sorry, you want an example? They don't have one. They don't have one. Charlie Kirk, there's no evidence that he ever preached hate, racism. He did preach from the Bible, men shall not lay with men, and God is a creator, and once the egg is fertilized, that's a baby. That's a life. If you consider that hate speech, you've got bigger issues you should be dealing with. But these folks that were running around signing it, they realized that one of those who had signed on to kind of boost it and at the same time boot TPUSA is an associate professor of religion at Rutgers. You would think, that's the problem. They don't think. You would think that a professor of religion recognizes everything Charlie Kirk said was based upon biblical writings and statements. He didn't call for killing anyone. He called for everyone to come together. He didn't call anyone that stood in front of him by names. Just said, I think you need to get more education because you're not getting it here, listening to your complaints. The response from Rutgers, we're committed to providing a secure environment. Yeah. And upholding the rights of students and faculty to free speech and academic freedom. So are you now saying that you will let Turning Point USA stay on campus? No, they're not commenting on that. Not on any specific personnel or student conduct matters, because that would be against what we do. Well, I thought you just said you would protect the students and you would stand for academic freedom and free speech. So you lie. That's what you're telling me. Yeah, you lie. I got it. Rutgers University, you get it. If you get your degree from Rutgers, just understand it's written on tissue paper. You know where that should be going. But you'll have some alumni, I'm sure, that will gather with you. Can all have a meeting in the same toilet room where they store the toilet trees and other things. You know what happened over Yom Kippur holidays involving Jews who work for the far left Washington Post? It wasn't just Jews, but I will tell you behind it, the scenes, I will bet they targeted the Jews, but we got to throw some other people in there with it as well, so it doesn't look like we're doing what we're doing. They ended up firing several of them, while the staffers who were Jews were observing Yom Kippur, the holy holiday. They fired more than half a dozen. Now, if they know more than half a dozen, I hate terminology like that. If you know it's 7, 8, or 9, or 10, well, state that. But they point out that among those shown the door was Pulitzer recipient David Hoffman, listed by the New York Post as a longtime contributing editor and Washington Post editorial board member, also Jewish. But they didn't put that in there. But they fired him. They also kicked out Heather Long, a columnist, a media writer, Jack Schaefer, that some don't like anyway, Washington Post opinion editor Adam O'Neill wrote in an email adding that, please know this decision was not made lightly and came after careful consideration of many factors, including the evolving needs of the paper. This piece appeared in Breitbart, and they made a point that, you know, at CNN, NNN, you know, not as many N's when they write it, and CBS News, no one ever gets fired. Well, they are wrong about that. They did fire Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo. But they still have Jake Tapper, Brian Stelter, who lied, Wolf Blitzer, Abby Phillip, Dana Bash. CNN still has Leslie Stahl, who, Mr. President, there was no laptop conspiracy. That was a lie, and we don't publish lies. There went the gold standard of 60 Minutes at that point. The Republican administration, I should say, when I say administration, I withdraw that. That suggests the White House. This is not done by the White House. It's done by a conservative group trying to point out that what's happening with this government shutdown right now and who should be blamed. Well, God, if you listen to the left, there's only one party to blame. That would be the GOP. This little ad that they've got spreading around says otherwise.
The party of open borders, transgender for everybody, lawlessness in our streets are shutting down the government in an effort to appease the radical left. These Democrats are coordinating their strategy with outside leftist groups and are demanding nearly $1.5 trillion in spending for an agenda that includes healthcare for illegal aliens and much, much more. Democrats for years have railed against government shutdowns, claiming a shutdown would mean much chaos and pain and needless heartache for the American people. Democrats are out of control, and you know who it hurts?
You, everyday people, and the most vulnerable. Seniors, veterans, working families, hungry kids, y'all.
Tell Congress to avoid the Democrat-led government shutdown.
And yeah, there are going to be some people in there that could be hurt. I care about federal employees who are just doing their job. That's a job. The J-O-B, that's where they got hired on. They have some protections. They have some benefits. And they have a mortgage and have a family to care for. And they can be as left as they want, but if they're doing the exact job, I don't care. They're entitled to their opinions, but not on the job and not using the power of their job to harass or go after decent Americans who simply believe in life, liberty, and freedom. Schumer wants to continue to blame the Republicans. And there was an offer the other day that, look, you guys want to keep the Obamacare package going? What if we go ahead and extend it 1 year? There's an offering. That'll be good for you, right? Well, no, now we want something else. And a Corvette to boot. Here's where the rubber hits the road. No pun referencing Corvette, by the way. Reductions in force are underway. All federal employees typically receive back pay as soon as a shutdown ends. But the Office of Management and Budget has circulated a memo stating back pay is not guaranteed for this furlough. And the OMB director, Russ Voigt, posted, RIFs have begun. Reduction in force. Typically, you don't shut them down, but they're doing it, and they're not going to be paid, and they may not even have a job to go back to. Mass firings are underway. And, of course, numerous agencies are realizing we don't really need them. Let's shut them down. All they're doing is regulating something that we don't need regulated. Democrats, led by Schumer, you stepped in it. Ooh, you stepped in it big time. So what'd you learn this hour? All right, class is in recess until next Monday. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.